Welcome back in to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. You're listening to After Hours. Mac Moore, your host, joined by Drew Nixon, producer of Coding Gold.
I'm still here. I did not get kicked out after the Bengals take. I did not.
Me and Grant tried. Also joined by Grant here, producing our show here. I tried to throw you out. You wouldn't leave. It's okay. We talked about it, though. And really, we were just drafting AFC contenders. If you're just joining us, we each drafted five. And of course, Drew couldn't help himself with the last pick in the draft. Just had to take the Bengals as the 10th contender in all of the NFL.
You had them on the list too. You had them on the list.
And that's what I was going to say. I made a list of 11 teams, and they were my 11th team. So they wouldn't have quite made my draft. I had the Commanders as 10th, but I get what you're saying.
Oh,
the schedule is easy.
Hmm.
I did. I had the Commanders at 10. So with the schedule that the Bengals have, I think there's a chance to come back into the playoffs. Hmm. But let's get to our out of left field question. We've got a good hour here, so stay with the landscape discussion revolving around Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams. We're going to get to some college football. We're going to get to another NFL discussion about teams that maybe are cooked, or are they still cooking? Do they still have a shot? We've got a lot on the board. But for right now, let's get to that out of left field question. Drew, the season's changing. Temperature's changing. Grant, I want you in on this too. It's now getting into the fall, getting those colder temps. 913-586-7965. Please be a part of this in the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Going into the fall, what is your go-to seasonal food or drink? What do you got? Go-to, it's getting cold, fireplace is turning on, the heater's going on, getting that sweater. What do you got? What do you got? Is it a cup of hot cocoa? Probably not yet. We're not there. I mean, it's the fall. So what do you think, Drew? You go first.
You're saying that today. I was in sweatpants, Ugg boots, and a hoodie and a vest.
Maybe you were already in hot chocolate time.
I've been waiting on this colder weather. I mean, my low tire pressure signal came on. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that.
Yep.
I need to go get the tire pressure lights up. So I love the fall weather. If it's like a Starbucks drink.
Oh, okay.
Hot, warm caramel mocha or peppermint mocha when we get into the winter time. That's the go-to. I am a soda drinker. I roll in with, somebody needs to help me out with a Quick Trip sponsor, because I have a Quick Trip in my hand, a soda
every
in my hand.
Day.
Every
got
single
that code
day.
Red.
Mac can attest to this every day. I think it's the caramel mocha, though. If I need a warm drink, like it feels fall, like my wife's got spiced apple toddy scents going through.
Oh yeah.
Through the apartment. Give me a good caramel mocha. Food, I'm gonna have to think about it. What is your drink of choice, Grant? What's your go-to in the fall?
Yeah, what do you got?
I don't know if I have a specific drink that I always look forward to.
That's fair.
But I'm like a big soup guy. You
Same.
Can start breaking soups out.
Oh, yes, dude. Yes.
Heading in the same direction I was going. Yes, I like it.
So what do you got? We got potato. What are you doing?
I mean, potato's good. A baked potato soup.
Yep. Yep.
Massive.
Chili isn't really a soup, but I like a good chili, too.
Shout out to Dusty Likens, who, a previous host of the After Hours show, made a gas potato soup, brought it in for me, brought me a good portion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
shout
I had that
Dusty,
for lunch
man.
And for dinner today, man.
Shout out to
so
Dusty.
The soup season has officially begun. It was cold in my house, warmed it up, zapped it in the microwave for 2 minutes. So good, seriously.
They have the big chunks of potato too, where it's like a whole fourth of a potato.
It had some little chunks, very creamy, chives, good amount of bacon, little cheese action. And I had some sourdough bread in the fridge, so I popped that in the toaster, buttered
you're
that up, baby.
You're making me hungry.
Dipped that in. Ooh, it was good. So potato soup, that's a good one. That's on my list too, Grant. I think pot pie is another good one.
It's a fall food for sure.
It's a very good fall
pumpkin
food.
Pie
yeah,
as a dessert.
Pumpkin pie, chicken pot pie, cider. Pumpkin picking if you're Fesco.
If we're going alcoholic drinks, I am the only person, I don't know if at the station, I don't like beer. It's disgusting. Any IPA.
Wow.
Domestic.
Nothing.
I don't like any of it.
Okay.
Oktoberfest? And none of those.
Okay.
Give me some Angry Orchard. I'm an Angry Orchard cider, hard cider guy. Along with Mike's Hard Lemonade. But if you go, that's just fall alcohol, but give me a
hard cider. I'll give you that.
Drew, have you made it to the cider mill, the Lewisburg cider mill?
No, you
should try
dude, you should.
That,
you should.
That came up on Cody and Gold last
yes.
week. Bink has talked to me about it as well. I need to go.
Make it a point. Find a weekend.
Yes, I'm going to. Shoot, I might do it this weekend. In all honesty, I'll find some time with the wife to go on.
I was
out
about to say, yeah, bring the girl. That'll be great, man. That'll be fantastic.
Food is, I think soup is the way. Soup is a good one. Somebody from the JSL and Toast Service text line from the 785, big bowl of chili. It's a stew, not a soup. If you're really feeling frisky, throw a fried egg on top. Give me a pumpkin beer to wash it down. I mean, I don't want to call it exotic, but you're throwing a fried egg on top
fried
of the chili.
Fried egg
right.
on top of the chili. I mean, I'm trying that, 785. I'm taking your word on that. I like
my
that.
Wife loves chili. I'm more of a soup person. Like if you, like the baked potato soup, that made me hungry as soon as Grant said it.
Yeah, I wish I had more. I already ate that all that Dusty gave me. He gave me big portions. I ate a lot of it. I pounded it. It was great.
Anytime you get good food, it's hard to ease off if you're going in.
There's the food.
There's a lot of good fall foods.
Yes, that's part of the ambiance, the vibe that fall sets. But I also think like candles. You know, you walk in, it's cold, you got the candles going, it smells nice.
Yep.
I feel like that's a huge part of the fall aesthetic as well. I mean,
100%.
You got the leaves. You got to have the candles.
Anytime home longer than an hour or two, I've got at least one candle going.
Yes.
I was trying to stay off of the Thanksgiving foods as well because they're not. I don't want to say that they're not fall foods because they're Thanksgiving foods, but Thanksgiving foods are different, I think, in a way than fall.
For sure. Well, yeah, I'm not bringing my warm mocha to caramel mocha to the Thanksgiving dinner table. Correct. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And baked potato soup. I don't have soup normally for Thanksgiving dinner, at least myself.
So that's an interesting discussion to bring up with the Thanksgiving thing, because I wrote on our doc sweet potatoes. Now, is that too Thanksgiving-y or is that fall? Where do we land on that?
I'm out on sweet potatoes in general.
Just out? Yeah. Sweet potato fries? You're done? You're out?
I'll do a fry You'll every dabble. Once in a while.
Okay.
In general, not searching it out.
Yams are great, man.
Yams. I like that.
Yams are great. Some collard greens.
Yams, potato. Have you heard? You've heard that
greens,
song?
Greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, hog, frog, lamb, ram. Yeah,
so good, man. Yeah, I would say
you name it. Just line it up.
You name
it. Hey, Thanksgiving, but yeah.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. Make sure you're part of the conversation going into the fall. What is your go-to drink or food? Have you guys turned on the heat yet? In the house? No? No heat for you, Grant?
For whatever reason, our apartment runs warm. So this is... I'm begging it to get colder so I can open up the windows and let the cool air in. The insulation is a little issue, but...
Dude, Saturday and Sunday, really, but open windows season this weekend. It was fantastic. Football on the whole time. It was great.
Let the wind blow a little bit.
Yes, yeah. Little breeze action. No, fantastic. And I mean, we've been talking about Fesco and Dusty, which you can listen to 6 to 10 Monday through Friday right here on 96.5 The Fan. We've been talking about mosquitoes are dead too because of this weather.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
man.
See you. Bye.
Someone from the 785 just turned on Mac on the night show. Yeah, it's the first time that Mac's on After Hours.
What's going on, man?
Shout out to the first time Mac's doing it. So
be here to help me get out of my break. My
we're having a good time.
After hours virginity. Yeah, we're having a great time. 785. What's your go to fall food or drink? Let us know. Sweet potato. Hey, from the 913. I got a cosign.
Sweet potatoes
on the sweet potatoes on the yams. So that's good. I like it.
Sweet. So do you watch any? I don't know if you do this, Grant, or if you do this, Mac. My wife and I watch the baking championship on Food Network. We love the fall baking championship. The holiday baking championship.
I am not. Yeah.
We love watching that stuff because to me, if I'm watching anything with food, I have to have some food, otherwise I get too hungry. But the Thanksgiving stuff that they make, sweet potatoes are always a part of it. I love those shows.
You ever do like the Great British Bake
Off? That's what I was going to ask too.
The British Bake Offs are
good
as well.
That's the one that I've always done.
Is it because the accents?
I think it's because the accent. It's just more fun to watch.
That's fair.
It gives it a fantastic quality. You're like.
No, my mom introduced me to that show a few years ago. I had no idea what it was, but it's a massive hit. Great British Breaking Show. Massive hit.
Tea and crumpets.
That is the out of left
broccoli
field
cheese
question.
Broccoli soup. Oh, man.
That's a good one. No, you're out?
No, I think it's good, but you're asking to go to the toilet if you're having broccoli cheese soup. Like you're asking for gastrointestinal issues.
Pair that up with your warm mocha.
Just
and,
saying.
You're going to have a fun on the toilet. That was your out of left field question. Make sure you get in on it. 913-586-7965 for that good fall food or drink. We're also now talking. Make sure you get on this. Who do you think got better yesterday, the Bills or the Jets? Two huge acquisitions, two huge trades. Amari Cooper. And of course, you got Devontae Adams back with his best bud, Aaron Rodgers, over there in New York. Who got better? That's what we're talking about. How did the landscape of the AFC change? That's all coming up next right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
At Shane Company.
Welcome back on a hump day. Mac Morey hosting here on After Hours, followed by Drew Nixon and, of course, our producer, Grant Nicholson.
Hump day.
Hump day. Mike. We just got done with our out of left field question. We were talking best fall foods, drinks, the vibes from the 816. Make sure you're part of the conversation. 913-586-7965. From the 816, OMG, my biggest compliment for the first big family Thanksgiving I hosted was for the collard greens. Now they're expected. Drew, he said it, brother.
Well done.
He said it, man. Big collard greens guy.
Collard greens, man. If they're good, there's not much better than good collard greens, man.
You know, I don't even know. I've had them like once or twice. I mean, I don't dislike them. The times I've had them, they were good. It's just not something that's been a part of my Thanksgiving traditions.
The best ones I've ever had, my wife's family has made them. They're good. One of my best friends, his mom made collard greens one time, and they were unbelievably good. When they're good, you're going to know it, and they're amazing. So,
well, two other teams.
You made me hungry, and we were talking during the break. Like now we might have to stop and get some food on the way back home. I'm hungry now.
There is no mites about it. I'm stopping somewhere to receive some food for sure. There is no question. Okay, so two teams made some huge moves the other day. Buffalo Bills went out and got Amari Cooper, and before that, the New York Jets went back and got Devontae Adams and reunited him with his guy Aaron Rodgers. Now, the question I brought up to the text line, 913-586-7965, to be a part of the conversation is, how does this change the AFC, and who got better? I mean, did the New York Jets get better? Did the Buffalo Bills get better? And does this really change your outlook on the AFC as a whole and the Chiefs' chances? Does this really kind of ramp up your panic button as far as, okay, the Chiefs now need a wide receiver? Before it was a really big want, but now it's a necessity. I mean, where has your kind of view changed after those two moves?
So I don't know if I would say, and going back, like I said earlier in the show, I think that they always needed to add somebody in the draft extra to prepare for a situation where potentially you need to go down further in your depth chart. The thing is, though, why I don't think they need one is because of last season. They found a way to win the whole thing, and this is the argument where if they didn't win, I think the conversation coming out of last season would have been the same as what it was for Aaron Rodgers a number of years. Get your quarterback some weapons. That would have been the exact conversation, and they did that to the Chiefs' credit. They brought in Hollywood Brown. They drafted Xavier Worthy, et cetera. Of course, you have the injuries now.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. So they kind of did that in a way, but that's what the conversation would have been. I don't think they should be any more worried about themselves not needing to get one because of them winning the Super Bowl last year with the roster that they had. That being said, I think the Buffalo Bills got better. They needed to get a number one. Keon Coleman, as good as he wasn't taking that role on. Khalil Shakir was your number one wide receiver. Now there's less pressure on Keon Coleman to make plays or to continue developing. He can learn from Amari Cooper more. You got Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. You got one of the best running backs, as long as he's healthy, and James Cook in the league.
Yeah, big if there.
Ray Davis played well as well against the Jets.
Ty Johnson's good too.
I feel like the winner of this one, if you're wanting to see who got more better, the Bills or the Jets, it's definitely the Bills, I think, because of what they needed. All of a sudden now you pair what Josh Allen's doing this year. He hadn't turned the ball over. He hadn't thrown an interception yet. Maybe that's a bad jinx to him. I guess I'll knock on wood for Josh Allen's sake. Can't turn the ball over yet. Has made pretty good decisions. Defense has played good. They're more healthy on defense. They make themselves, I think, a legitimate contender now more than what the Jets do with getting Devontae Adams. Because I think it's more of a, I don't want to call it an Aaron Rodgers show. Maybe I have sympathy for Aaron Rodgers more than other people.
Oh, wow. And Aaron Rodgers in the same sentence. Haven't heard that in a minute.
I don't hate Aaron Rodgers as much as other people do. Maybe that's because my grandparents were big Packers fans, and I watched him play the bad, bad man that Aaron Rodgers is.
He's a bad man.
But I don't think they got exponentially better where it's like, yeah, now they're Super Bowl contenders, because there seems to be too much of a circus going on there. It's too chaotic with New York, and the Bills, with a lesser roster, quote-unquote, just beat them. They got Amari Cooper. I think the Bills are the scarier now of the two teams. And maybe, I don't know if they're up there with the Ravens or Texans maybe yet, but if you're ranking your tiers, I think the Bills are in that tier now with Houston.
Yes.
Of, okay, this team's legit now, where maybe we thought they'd kind of fall off at the beginning of the year. Okay, they don't have the roster quite yet to go and make it. Now they kind of have that number one go-to target where you're like, maybe this team is a concern more for the Chiefs. Not that the Chiefs need to do anything, but they're going to be stiffer competition now.
I think they're absolutely in that class. They leveled up. To me, the Bills got way better. I think they had less weaknesses. So I think there's less, you know, things that they really needed. And in the number one wide receiver, as you mentioned, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, some tight ends, they weren't necessarily cutting it. You bring in a guy who can just go get a bucket on third and six.
It almost opens up the offense more,
It opens up everything. And James Cook, you mentioned the turf toe. We'll see when he comes back. But I think the Bills elevated into that top class that you mentioned, Chiefs, Ravens, Texans, and now the Bills, the four division winners. If two of those four teams weren't in the AFC Championship and representing the AFC, I would be shocked, right? I mean, two of those four teams in the AFC Championship game, that feels like a lock to me at this point. It's going to be...
A lock?
A lock. Okay. Two of those four teams. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I feel like it's hard to like. It's weird because you want to say no. There's so much more of the season left to play, but we know how this has gone before. Like we know that the Chiefs they're going to be in the AFC title game at a bare minimum because that's all they know.
Yep.
And then you just take a look
fill in the blank. Yeah, exactly.
At Houston or Baltimore or Buffalo. I'm going to put the Bengals in there, of course. But there's really nobody else. So, and if you look at the conference. Once you get past like the first five teams that are there, even within the first five, you're like, I don't know if any of these teams can really compete against the Chiefs, even though they don't have a real number one wide receiver right now, which is, I don't know if that's just a state of the NFL or just a state of like the AFC, but that's the situation we're in now where it's hard to argue your point, Mac, because we've seen it. It's not like common sense would say, no, there's plenty more time left to go. Like
there's 12 games left. Yeah, we're not even in. We just started October.
Yeah, there's so much more time. Yeah, the Jets are. They might be contenders. We don't know. The Dolphins. Who knows? Tua's going to play again, according to Mike McDaniel. Who knows? But we know how it goes based on what we've seen and what we've witnessed. And there's really only three or four legitimate teams in the AFC that have a shot at winning a Super Bowl or making it. Of course, the Chiefs are one of them. But there's not many others other than them.
Guys, I'm going to zag here a little bit.
Oh, I love it.
Just because I don't think either of these teams got that much better with the trades that they made. But I am a little bit more afraid of the Jets just because Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, loves to throw to his guys. And he's much scarier thrown to Devontae Adams than him thrown to Mike Williams and then throwing him under the bus in the post-game press conference. Yeah. So
I think it's a good point.
We've seen the Bills with Stephon Diggs, with Gabe Davis. Not saying Gabe Davis is Amari Cooper, but we've seen them with wide receivers before. Doesn't really change the equation for me that much.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate that. I think it's fair to bring up, I mean, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. It needs to be noted that is one of the best connections and duos that we've seen in the past 15 years.
Yeah,
so I think that's 100%. Fair. And you're bringing that back. And we've seen Garrett Wilson and Rodgers start to heat up. Saw Breece Hall have a good game. The fact that he didn't get that wide open touchdown on the sideline on Monday Night Football was just asinine to me. Absolutely blew my mind that you're that good of a running back. You can't beat one safety. Just cut outside. Cut outside, brother. But yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm scared of the Jets.
I'm not either.
Worried going to the playoffs.
No.
But it is a little scarier now that I know Devontae Adams is on the outside and Garrett Wilson for that team.
Yeah, so from the 913, Savalento Service Text Line, Dan from KCK says, what's up, guys? The O-line is struggling for the Jets. Devontae Adams may not matter. I think that's the one thing, because of the Achilles. Like, I think you're spot on in... When you get down to the red zone, you know that Devontae Adams is going to get thrown the ball because they got that connection. They got the back shoulder throw. Aaron's going to put it in the spot. But throughout, I don't know if this is throughout Aaron's career, but he's not as mobile as he is, obviously, turning 40. The Achilles hampers his ability to run. Them being able to protect him, I think, is the one thing that maybe prohibits them from when they face a Chiefs defense, when they face Baltimore's defense. When they face the Texans defense, and you're talking about Will Anderson and big-time pass rushers, I'll be interested to see how they can handle those guys and how they look against that competition, because the Jets' offensive line is the one weak point, really, if you look at the team. Defensively, we know that they're good. Maybe not as good as we expected them to be, but we know that they're good.
I think that's the biggest storyline.
I think the offensive line is the one question mark where if you were to say, I don't think it's the Jets, it's because of the offensive line. But I think Grant, you're right. When you look at the weapons, Alan Lazard, connection. Garrett Wilson, he's already developing that. Devontae Adams has a connection. Breece Hall and Braylon Allen are a great running back duo. Breece Hall is a do-it-all back. It in a way, freaks you out, but maybe it's because we don't trust the Jets and it's just... The Jets are the Jets, and we're not used to it. I don't know, but I just think that the Bills, we know that they at least, Josh Allen is in a way Superman, that he can take over a game by himself. Aaron can do that, I think, in a way, but he's you're relying on the offensive line, I think, a little bit more with Aaron Rodgers than you are with Josh Allen.
From the 816-913-586-7965, the text line number, the Jay Southline text line number, Bills definitely got better. I think the Jets got better short term, but Rodgers can't throw touchdowns from his back. I think that's the point, man. I mean, I think you bring up the two biggest weaknesses, the O-line, the defense. I think the O-line had questions before the season, but the defense is the biggest surprise for me. I knew the pass rush was going to suffer even if Hassan Reddick was there. John Franklin Myers.
They need to figure that out, too.
Absolutely. They have to figure that out. John Franklin Myers, they had another younger pass rusher that they'd let walk away and sign another deal. I think that is hitting them harder. I think the defense, if you were to tell me they had last year's defense on this year's team, we're talking about them in the contenders. They're coming up in that contender draft that we did a little bit ago, and they're just not there for me. I guess for me, this is a Bills thing. I just think Josh Allen is, like, to me, it's Mahomes, gap, Allen, big gap, everyone else. That's the way I think about the quarterback class, and I know that's going to get you going a little bit, Drew. Maybe the text line won't like it, but like that is how I think about the Buffalo Bills. You add that onto the defense. You give them a number one wide receiver. We've already seen them produce on offense without Amari Cooper. I'm officially antennas raised on the Buffalo Bills.
Someone said from the 816, you are tripping. The Jets are so the Jets, pure suckage.
You're suckage. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the input.
Dang.
That's why you text in.
No, I get that. That's why I think it's the Jets.
I get it. It's
Mark Sanchez and the butt fumble. It's Rex Ryan and the toe fetish. You can't take them seriously until you can take them seriously. I think that's what, if they win the division, which at this point it's going to be harder to do, but if the Jets can win the division, you take them seriously. I think that's what, in a way, it's, I need to see this to believe this. We see on paper, the Jets are really good, but I need to see them play. I don't need to just look at a piece of paper and be like, dang, they got all these guys.
Like, wow, my gosh.
Yeah. I think I want to see them win. I want to see them win the division. If they win the division, then I think we're talking serious contender.
They need to get back to 500 before they worry about the division. 2-4 right now. Next two games at Steelers, Sunday Night Football. Then they'll travel to New England, take on the Patriots.
Now I know.
I know.
Mean, they can lose to the Steelers this week, and I don't think anybody
would
be shocked.
That's a good point. Sunday Night Football.
I wouldn't be shocked.
With Russell Wilson. Stupid decision, by the way, for the Steelers to do. To bench Justin Fields.
Insane.
The Jets might win because of that.
No, and I think, I think that's going to be a good game.
You're right, Grant, for sure.
They need those two games. I mean, those are two huge winnable games, and then after that, you got the Texans. You're probably losing that game. You're at 4-5 then, but then you got Cardinals, Colts, Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams. The schedule lightens up a lot there in the middle of that season. So Jets season not over. I think Davante Adams is going to add a boost to that offense, but when I've watched the Jets, it hasn't been like, man, they just need some more points. I really wish they had another receiver. They can't protect Aaron Rodgers the way they need to protect a 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury, and the defense is not top five anymore, maybe not top 10. And that is a huge asterisk there on this team as far as evaluating them. So we'll keep talking wide receivers. We'll keep talking AFC. We will get back into the NFL later on in the show. Stick with us. We've got about 30 more minutes left here on After Hours. Coming up, though, in the next segment, Travis Hunter, a little salty that he's not the star of the show anymore, not getting all the limelight in the college football world. Well, we'll talk about it coming up next right here, After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
The Fan, After Hours, joined by Drew Nixon, Grant Nicholson, and myself, Mac Morey, here for the next 27 minutes or so, talking college football, talking NFL, and talking it with you on the text line. 913-586-7965 is the number to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7965. Transitioning over to the college football world a little bit. Heisman heating up here. About halfway through the season, Heisman odds coming out, and we've got a clearer picture of how this is going.
Ashton Jeanty, man.
Kind of becoming a two-horse race. Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, and Travis getting a little butthurt, a little salty that he's no longer the favorite, that he's no longer the betting favorite or the guy that everyone's talking about even.
I don't know if you guys saw this. If you didn't, On3 Sports has got a tweet. Travis Hunter was basically, he's been asked about this. He was on a podcast, actually, with Robert Griffin III. And he compared his Heisman Trophy chances with that of Ashton Jeanty. Y'all see Ashton Jeanty. Quote, it's not like we haven't seen a running back that's good. We haven't seen a player that plays both ways, and I'm going to keep saying that. Ironically enough, we have seen that in college football before. As a matter of fact, Charles Woodson won the Heisman Trophy, and he was a defensive back and a wide receiver. Believe it or not, Grant, sooner than what we saw somebody like Ashton Jeanty do. In the late 90s, you have like 97, 98, is the year when Charles Woodson wins the Heisman, DB, wide receiver. Ashton Jeanty, they did a side-by-side with him and Barry Sanders stats. He is on pace for a better season than Barry Sanders
in
1988. So 10 years before Charles Woodson did his thing, that's what Ashton Jeanty's doing. Like, he's doing something that we've maybe seen one time in history. And again, I know he plays for Boise State, but they play weaker competition. They're in the Mountain West, but they played Oregon. He ran for almost 200 yards against Oregon.
One of the better defenses in college football.
Some of the competition, I know I mentioned DJ Giddens, I think is the second best back in the country, but other competition like Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins at Ohio State, they played Oregon over the weekend. Quinshon Judkins had 23 yards on the ground.
Yikes.
Trevion Henderson had 87. Ashton Jeanty had almost 100 more yards on the ground than those two combined against the same Oregon team. So when you're putting up those Buku numbers, I feel like Ashton Jeanty is the guy. But look, I understand. Like, I feel like if you're going to say something, you got to know the history of the sport a little bit more to know. I don't think he realizes how good Ashton Jeanty.
These guys don't.
Micah Parsons on his podcast said, "I've never seen anything like Ashton Jeanty. He's an all-pro linebacker." And Travis Hunter's like, "I mean, he's good, but he ain't saying nothing like me." Back yourself up. I like it. Travis can do his thing. He's going to be a top three pick. But Ashton Jeanty's having the better season, and in my mind, he should be the Heisman favorite, even though he only plays at Boise State. Boise State might actually have a bye, the way that stuff shakes up.
Seriously.
Because I think people forget about this. It's the top four conference, the highest-ranked conference champions, not Big 12, SEC, ACC, Big 12. It's Boise State could theoretically be ranked higher than the Big 12 champion. That means that Boise State gets the bye as the four seed. So that's something to keep in mind. Boise State wins out, then who knows? They might have a shot. And Ashton Jeanty, I love the way that he stands, too. He stands like Michael freaking Myers.
He does in the backfield, man.
He doesn't have a stance. Knees aren't bent.
He's not in an athletic stance. He's not on the tip of his toes. He's just standing there like he's about to kill someone.
Someone from the 417 said he falls to the late round, picked by the Chiefs. There is no way. I'm not even going to. There's no percent chance that happens unless the Chiefs pick him in the first round late. Which I don't think they would do that because Pacheco's still at least for right
falls
now.
If he means falls to a late round, is it? Oh, I thought he meant falls to late first to round. Yeah, no, 417. No. Yeah.
Maybe that's what they meant.
If they mean late first round, maybe. I don't think they'd go running back in the first round.
I think he's going first round, though.
Boise State on a bye. I think he's going first round, too. They're on a bye this week. They'll be at UNLV next Friday. That'll be a 9:30 game, October 25th.
You deal with the Colorado fanboy himself in Dusty.
I do.
What do you think Dusty thinks about this?
You know, this would be an interesting conversation to have with Dusty, and you can hear us 6-10, Fesco and Dusty. We'll have a conversation about top quarterbacks in the NFL. We should have a Heisman discussion at some point with him, because I would be curious on his thoughts about his boy Travis Hunter. You know, Hunter's talking about, you know, if I had 95 catches, I'd have way more yards than Jeanty on his, you know, carry. I'm like, okay, we're not. If I was 6'5" and 240 pounds, yeah, I wouldn't be sitting next to you, Drew. Okay. I'd be sitting next to Ashton Jeanty. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing here? Like, it's ridiculous. We're not playing the what-if game. We're playing reality, okay?
If you compare the stat lines, Travis Hunter averages 12 yards a catch. Fine numbers. Yeah, he averages 12 yards a catch.
Pretty good.
Ashton Jeanty averages almost 10 yards a carry. He's not running. He's getting the ball behind the backfield. He's not behind the line of scrimmage. He's not touching the ball 10 yards down. He is touching the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and he averages almost as many average yards per touch as Travis Hunter. That is all I think you need to know about who's having the more impactful season. Not to say that Travis Hunter is not good. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to be a top three pick. I'm not saying he shouldn't be second in the Heisman. It's just that Ashton Jeanty, when a guy is having this sort of a season, I don't think you can say, well, he plays on a team that is not in a good conference. It shouldn't matter when a guy's putting up these numbers. It's ridiculous what he's doing.
and at least halfway through the season, approximately, he hasn't even been playing full games for Boise State.
Yeah, because they've been blowing everybody out.
A couple weeks ago, he had 186 yards, three touchdowns in just the first half.
You're right. From now on, Boise State should just play and hope he doesn't get hurt.
That's the thing, man.
They should just play Ashton Jeanty. Let him run for 300 yards in every game. I know that it's not, they'd rather make the playoff than him win the Heisman, I'm sure, and he still might be able to do both. But at this point, is that what it takes? I thought we were past the point where you just need to pad your stats. Like, if you just watch with your own eyeballs, he is a more impactful player. He is just as good of a football player as Travis Hunter, and because he plays on a Boise State team and he carries them, you can argue that he's a more valuable asset to Boise State, even more than Travis Hunter is to Colorado.
I don't think they're... I mean...
Because Travis Hunter, I mean, he plays both ways and he does that. And Bink and I have talked about this multiple times. We both think he'll be a wide receiver at the next
Travis
level.
Hunter?
Yes.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think Cam Ward's in the discussion, too, for the Heisman. But I think to your point, Mac, is that it's turning into a two-horse race because of what we see. And, I mean, maybe if Colorado makes the playoff and Boise State doesn't, maybe Travis Hunter wins the award. But if Boise State makes the playoff and Colorado doesn't, that might be the ultimate difference in who wins the high. And I don't like it. That's that way because it's an individual award. But I think that might help determine, because how much your team wins, it helps determine, and sure, they play in a weaker conference and all of that conversation. But it's not Boise State, in a way, has it almost a little bit harder than Colorado does, because Boise State, in all likelihood, is not necessarily getting an at-large. They're competing with Tulane. They're competing with Army, with Navy, with UNLV, directly in their own conference for that one college football playoff spot, at least right now, from the group of five. So they're playing, they're it's them against two or three other teams, and they just have to be better than them. And Ashton Jeanty is going to be the reason, if Boise State does it, that they are better than everybody else in the group of five level, because, I mean, he's just tearing it up.
Yeah, you bring up value. I mean, Ashton Jeanty, not on Boise State, they're nothing. You know, Travis Hunter's not on Colorado. Yeah, they're lesser, but they still got Shedeur Sanders, who can be a top 10 pick in the drafts this season. They still got Deion Sanders. They got way more money. They got way more notoriety. Yeah, I think Ashton Jeanty is a more valuable player, and I don't think it should necessarily be brought to the fact of, oh, this team made the playoffs, this team didn't. I don't care. Like, Boise State's
it
on the map because of Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
He's on the state. He's on the... Boise State's on the map because of Ashton Jeanty. He's plus 230. Dylan Gabriel behind at plus 260. That's where you get to Travis Hunter, a little drop off there at plus 600. Then you got Cam Ward at plus 650. So if you really look at the odds, they kind of have it as a four-horse race. After that, you get to Jalen Milroe plus 1,400. So a huge drop off there.
Dylan Gabriel is really good. I hope they don't give it to a quarterback.
Me too.
Like, I think this is a Travis Hunter or it is an Ashton Jeanty year. A running back deserves to win it if he's putting up these numbers.
Yeah.
As I think, again, DJ Giddens has run for 182 and 187 yards the last two games. That is like basically the average for Ashton Jeanty in all the games that they played, if not more. Like that's how good he's been. He's been unconscious. I just think that, yeah, that regarding the Heisman conversation, it's like the MVP should be about the best. I know that it never is this way, but it should always be the best player in the country for that season. And like, Patrick Mahomes is the favorite right now. I think you could argue other guys should be ahead of him in that conversation. Josh Allen potentially being one of them.
Yep, absolutely.
But you take the player that's having the best season more than we typically see just the best player, because otherwise the same player would win the same award. The Heisman Trophy has been consistent where it's never really the best stats. It's the best player in college football more often than not, because the college football fluctuates so much and players go in and out so much because they go to the league and all that other stuff. Ashton Jeanty is the sole reason why Boise State is even in this conversation. I think that enough is worthy to put him at number one. You said he's what, plus 230?
Plus 230, Dylan Gabriel plus 260. Then you got a little bit of a drop off.
I'll be honest, you're still getting plus money. You might as well throw it down. You might as well throw it down. Money now.
Yeah. Again, bye week this week. You may even wait till after this week because he'll be bye week. People won't be watching, won't be as
maybe,
talked
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
Dylan Gabriel plays it well again. Maybe he's not the favorite. So maybe if you're really liking the Ashton Jeanty, maybe just wait a week. That line will go up a little bit. Again, they do have a bye week. They'll play at UNLV Friday at around 9:30 next week, October 25th. talking about some of the best players on the best teams doing the best things for their season. Now we're going to talk about some of the maybe not as good teams in the NFL trying to revitalize their season. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. This is After Hours. Drew Nixon, Grant Nicholson, Mac Morey. We'll be back on your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Just over 10 minutes till our time is done. 96.5 The Fan. This is After Hours, joined by Drew Nixon, Grant Nicholson, and myself, Mac Morey. You can hear me tomorrow, just in like 9 hours. 6 to 10 right here, Fesco Dusty, followed by, of course.
You going to sleep here or you going home?
I'll go home. Cody and Gold, and then 2 to 6, you got The Drive with Carrington, Harrison, and Rob, of course. We are going to end our show on some NFL discussions, kind of looking at 6 weeks in, five or six games for every team, kind of who's in, who has a shot, and who's out. Who's cooking and who's cooked? That's what we're doing here today. So I wrote down six or seven teams that are kind of in that, you know, 1-4, 2-4, 3-3 sort of range here. And so I want to hear from you guys, both you and Drew and Grant, and of course the text line 913-586-7965, about who's cooked and who is still cooking. Let's start with the Rams. Okay, they're 1-4. They've been without their top two weapons. This is a team that was kind of structured around Stafford, the three-headed monster of Stafford, Puka, and Cooper. Two of those have been gone, and it's been Stafford by himself, and he's not been able to keep this ship afloat. Their next four games: Raiders, Vikings, Seahawks, Dolphins. Drew, I'll start with you. Cooked or still cooking, the LA Rams?
I went back before this. I think they're cooked. That might surprise you. I know that they're without. We think Cooper Kupp might be back before. Yep.
Could be back soon.
Before Puka Nacua. But I just think it's for them being 1-4, they have too many question marks where they're not amazing at one particular thing. They're kind of mid if you look at the rankings. Like, they're okay. They don't have one thing that they can overcome the other thing, for instance, like the injuries. Defense hasn't been good enough for them to be able to
not near
to win, you know, football games. The offense has really struggled. They haven't been able to get it together. Their one wins against the Niners, it looks good, but they've really struggled. I think when you look at the Vikings on the road against the Seahawks, down the line against the Saints, Bills, Niners, Jets, that's a little bit of a gauntlet of a run in the later part of the season. I think they might should be too far behind the eight ball when they get to that point. They are going to have to win two or three of those games. I don't think they can. I think they're cooked.
I'm going to go still cooking. I don't feel great about it, but I look at the schedule. It's not too hard. You look at their past games. I mean, shoot, you start with an overtime loss to the Lions. You had it. You had the one, you know, you got, it was a clinic against the Cardinals, 41-10. You lost. You beat the Niners. You lose by 6 to the Bears. You lose by 5 to the Packers. You know, you're so close on getting some of these wins. I think if they can beat the Raiders, I think there's a chance for them to still make the playoffs if they can get Cooper.
They better beat the Raiders.
They have to,
no,
right?
Devontae,
they have
to. There's you're no excuse. No excuse.
Yes. No, you absolutely, Sean McVay has to figure this out. You've got to be able to do this. But I think you're right. I think the roster woes could get in the way. 1-4 is a big hole to climb out of, but I'm going to go still cooking, not quite over. Bengals, I'll start here. I'm going to go still cooking just for you, Drew, but it is very close. Grant, what do you say? Bengals, cooked or still cooking?
I think they're cooked. I think it's done.
Thank you.
Just because it's too big of a hole to climb out of, and the defense isn't where it needs to be cooking still. So obviously they could prove me wrong. They have the pieces available to them, but they haven't shown an ability this year to utilize it. I think they're cooked.
Next four games: Browns, Eagles, Raiders, Ravens.
They're still cooking.
surprise.
Yeah, shocker there.
I honestly just said cook just to get it right.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Yeah, we have to, right? Come on.
They're only one game out of the seven seed spot. So I think all...
That's fair.
All they need to do is get in. I mean, who knows? We could be seeing, if the Chiefs can't win the one seed, we could be seeing Chiefs-Bengals first round, 2-7. I think the Bengals can still make
so
it.
So scared. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm scared.
We're not revisiting this again. You should be nervous if the Bengals make the playoffs. I think they're still cooking.
Yeah, and they're only two games out of the division. I'm not confident in the Steelers. Yeah, Bengals still cooking. Cardinals, 2-4. Been a weird season for them. I don't understand this team right now. Next four games: Chargers, Dolphins, Bears, Jets. I'm a huge Kyler guy. I really like Marvin Harrison. I don't know how to feel about this defense. James Conner's pretty solid. I feel like Jonathan Gannon's a good head coach in his second year from Philadelphia. I'm going to go cooked, though, this season, which makes me sad to say. I hope I'm wrong.
Their last two losses have been really bad. They lost to the Commanders by almost 30. They lost to the Packers by 21.
I was thinking
maybe still cooking. If you'd asked me this 2 weeks ago, I'd have said still cooking.
Sure.
Even though they would have only had, they would have been 2-3, whatever. They're now two, or if they would have been 1-3, I still would have said still cooking. Now I think they're cooked. If you look at, I know that the Rams are right there in that conversation with them. They're 2-4. They're okay, but they haven't been able to beat, I guess, the good teams. They've lost to the Bills. They've lost to the Lions. They've lost to the Commanders.
Close in two of those games, but they just couldn't get it done.
They beat the Niners. The Niners have been also a very... That whole division's weird. The Niners are 3-3 right now, and they're winning the division. That whole division is sketchy. Maybe that means they're still cooking in a way, but I think that they're cooked.
Yeah, I think they're cooked, too. I think you hit it right there at the end. Is the division's just kind of too tough.
Yeah.
Too many tough games. What do they really hang their hat on? I guess maybe they're just giving it to Kyler to play ISO ball and win them games. I don't know if that's really
sustainable. Is Marvin Harrison back? Because I know he went out with a concussion. Is he all right?
The latest I saw was that it's possible. They don't know yet.
Okay.
They do not
know. If it's anything
yet,
like Malik Nabers, he's going to be out for a little bit. But Malik has been dealing with it for a while. It seems like Marvin Harrison's wasn't too bad.
When he's back, they need to include him more. He's third on that team in targets. What? Why is he behind Greg Dortch in targets? I don't know. I'm confused by that. I don't understand. I like Greg George, but let's change that.
I don't know.
Chargers, 3-2. Cooked or still cooking?
Still cooking, and I think this is for...
Me too, I agree.
This is for playoff purposes only.
Division
is a no. The AFC is still up for grabs, and the reason why I think they're still cooking is because of Jim Harbaugh. If it was Brandon Staley, I would say, yeah, they might still be cooked because of the coaching decision. You can trust Jim Harbaugh to make the right decision, to be the proper leader for the football team, to make the right decisions himself. And I think that what they've got roster wise, Ly McConkey's continuing to develop. J.K. Dobbins has been really good for them. I think they're still cooking.
Grant? Yeah, I'll go with still cooking, but just by the thinnest of margins. I mean, they're not that far away from cooked. And maybe it is just Jim Harbaugh that puts them over the top. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually think the defense has played better than I expected too these past couple of weeks.
That might be the Jim Harbaugh effect too, even though he's an offensive guy.
It's annoying because they play like sound fundamental football.
They do.
Now. They're just going to run the ball with J.K. Dobbins and like play pretty decent defense.
It's the Michigan effect.
That's just frustrating.
It is. And then the couple play action deep shots with Justin Herbert. Like, I think they're cooking. And I think not this year, maybe not next year, but in 2 years, that's finally a discussion to have a real AFC West threat on your back. We're about to get out of here real quick. Dallas Cowboys, 3-3, just got destroyed, blown out. Are they cooked? Still cooking.
Still cooking. I know.
Okay. I know that Jerry Jones is firing radio hosts. They're still cooking. Hey, you're hired.
I look, Jerry, pay any of us to make Cowboys takes, and we'll gladly take whatever. If you want us to get Cowboys takes on the side, we will
sign
gladly do that. We'll ask you the questions you want. I think they're still cooking because they've still got the talent on the roster. Micah Parsons is still a dog. The division is eh. I still think they're still cooking. Let's give them time.
I think they're cooked. They're the third best team in their own division, and the NFC is like sneaky deep. I agree. They're basically cooked.
That division stinks, by the way. The Eagles, not good.
Eagles, not good, but they're better than the Cowboys right now. To me, I think so.
Yeah.
I trust the Eagles' pedigree more.
Yeah, and then you got four teams out of the NFC North. You got the Falcons. You got the Buccaneers. I think the Saints are cooked. But yeah, I agree with you. The NFC is sneaky deep. I think the torch has been passed right before our eyes. That'll do it.
Had a blast.
This is great, man. My first time. I appreciate you guys helping me along. This is awesome. Thank you for the listeners.
Always good.
Yeah, this is awesome. Jay Southland, Toe Text Line, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And, you know, Drew, I think let's make this a regular thing. What'd you say?
I say next week. Let's do it at the same time, same day.
Let's do it. Hey, guys, coming up on 96.5, stay locked in. You got the K-State Coaches Show with Coach Klieman coming up right after us. Thank you so much for being a part of 96.5 on After Hours. This is your home for Kansas City sports. I'll see you in 9 hours, guys.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports.